For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
It is episode number two this week. It is the shoot around. B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenner. Seven-time NBA champion, Robert Ory. We touched on this on Tuesday with Embiid being out and him likely missing the MVP simply on the basis of, I mean, forget the fact that, you're probably going to miss the rest of the season or at least a big fat chunk of it. You're not going to qualify for your minimum 65 games played, according to the new NBA rule. And you also have to play a minimum of 20 minutes for at least a game. To count. As such, several players have already been disqualified from potentially hoisting a trophy at the end of the year. Some of these people I was surprised by. I think we knew about Marcus Smart. He's been hurt. He only played 20 games. LaMelo Ball, who's been playing really well, but his injury caused him to miss 20 straight games from the 28th to January 10th. He was immediately disqualified from any NBA awards for that. Even though he's come back, he's played really, really well.
Yeah, but even though two people that you just named, they weren't in the MVP conversation anyway.
Defensive player of the year conversation either.
Yeah, they weren't.
Or most improved.
Mm-mm. Okay. Kyrie Irving. By December 30th, he'd already missed 16 games due to a foot injury. And then he missed the Mavericks' last five. He was unavailable due to a thumb injury at one point. So no matter how well Kyrie plays, he's out of the conversation.
So far, out of all those guys you just named, this is the one guy I'd probably say he don't give a shit.
No, he does not care. Kyrie, how do you feel?
I don't give a shit.
No, he doesn't care. No, he does not care at all. Zach LaVine, we already talked about him being out. He missed 17 games from the start of the year, from November 30th to January 3rd, and now he's out, good grief, almost indefinitely.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal.
That trade bait.
Bradley Beal? Yeah. Started a stint with the Suns on the sideline, missed the first seven games of the season. He's missed another 17 since.
Oh, fella.
Man.
He just can't get it going.
There was so much hype, too, around that move.
Back, nose, ankle.
Mm-hmm. He's like the operation guy. Shit's just lighting up everywhere. And then we talked about Embiid missing 13 games. And he's probably set to miss a lot more. So with Embiid out, a question I got from a bunch of different listeners, including Marcelo. Wanted to know, who do you think will take the MVP this year with Embiid out of the conversation?
I think it's going to just boil down to Jokic because
we're going to do this again. You know,
yeah. If you really think about it, he probably could have won it last year.
He probably should have won it last year, but Embiid should have won it the year before.
Exactly.
So it was kind of a makeup year. We talked about that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if the NBA is ready to crown a new guy like a Shai Gilgeous or something like that. But
why not?
You know, I know, but it's ain't that weird though? But if you know, on the flip side of that, if I had to give it to anybody, it'd be Jason Tatum.
They got the best record in basketball. But I don't hear him much in the conversation.
I know nobody talks about him, but he has the best record in basketball, top three in scoring, top five in scoring. You know, and I think sometimes winning falls by the wayside. You think about when Jordan won it, Dream won it, Barkley won it, all those guys won it. They were top three teams in the NBA. And all of a sudden, we get to a point where, you know, it's no disrespect to Westbrook, where I think they finished like fifth or sixth that year, and he wins MVP, but he averaged a season of triple-double.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
But it's like now they don't look at it. They just, okay, who's playing well? If the team is winning and you're playing well, that means a lot to me. So that's why I say Jason Tatum.
Well, I ain't got no problem with that one. Mm-hmm. The one name I bring up is Anthony Edwards. I mean, No one, I think they're no longer number one in the West. Now it's OKC by what, a game or half a
they're
game?
Tied.
Be, yeah.
They're, right. Close. So, but the simple fact that nobody had Minnesota where they are, and the fact that Anthony Edwards has taken this leap is the reason why they are with you. Now, I understand that, you know, Rudy and Carl Anthony Towns and those guys are doing their thing, but their emergence, make no mistake about it, is because of Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Without he doubt. Is. He should be getting way more MVP consideration than what he is.
He doesn't get anything. He doesn't get any recognition.
How much of this has to do with guys playing exceptionally well, while maybe the rest of the team not as much? Because I think that, you know, Embiid, you know, we've talked about Tyrese Maxey, but Embiid was the focal point of the 76ers. And with them having any kind of modicum of success, we talked about this last week, or earlier in the week, I should say, ran through Embiid. It runs through Embiid. Your success is going to be based around him. Dallas, probably Luka. You know, the offense flows through him. Mm-hmm. How much of it has to do with that?
I think when you boil it, I said, a lot of people, they use this little formula now. They said, if you take this guy off this team, will they be successful? You know, and that's damn near half
the
league.
But that's not the right equation for this award, is it?
No, it's not. But and that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, they always say that, you know, let's take when Dream won MVP for us. He was the only fucking all-star on our team. Nobody else made all-star, but we won a championship that year. We had the best record in the league. And he pretty much carried us. But it's about who's performing the best, you know, and that goes back to when Jordan should have damn near won it every year. You know, Kobe should have won it, that, you know, Steve Nash second MVP. It's so many guys you can put your hand on and say they should have won it, but they haven't. It's just, it boils down to the media. And what I say about that is the media goes out and they says, oh, this is the guy who's going to win MVP this year. So now he's in everybody's head and they say, oh, this is the guy who's going to win MVP. Think about 3 years ago, there's, oh, this is the year Luka's going to win it. But Luka came into the season out of shape and wasn't performing. Like they switched the narrative really quick, and they went to Jokic. And so, like, and it's almost like everybody got tired of Giannis winning it, and then they said, okay, we need someone else to go to Jokic. And then it's like they got tired of Jokic winning. They gave it to Embiid when they should have flip-flopped it and gave it to Embiid. You know, they should have been. It's a popularity contest, man. It's who's being talked about. And you just got to get the right media, the social media, to hype your guy up so when it comes time, they're getting talked about.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
I just don't get that.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I do think a little bit of that formula of if you take this guy off this team, I do think that plays a big part. Like if I take Anthony Edwards away from the Timberwolves, what does that team look like?
60 from Cat every night.
Yeah, okay, well, and what? And what? Some, numerous
in a,
losses
in a losing cause.
Yeah.
If I take,
you have a point, right? But I think Rob's point was it shouldn't be the only deciding factor.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But what does MVP stand for?
Most valuable player.
If I take away the value from something, what is it worth?
Yeah. You know, it's been a screwy since, you know, Jordan Bentley. Let's be honest, he shouldn't want it done every year he was in the league, but they didn't do it that way. You know.
Well, yeah, and you can have other guys who, and yeah, you're right, and you can almost say the same thing about LeBron. There are other guys who are valuable to their team, and like you said, they emerge, and you see their value to this team, and it was their year, you know, to win it. I think the thing with Jokic, it's the fact that he's been able to do it for so long without any major injury. And in the way that he plays in such a fast paced game, the way he's able to dictate the game by how he moves and his passing ability and his vision and the way that he is, nobody in the league like him. Like you would think he was fit for more of the 90s type of game. It's 2024. And this man is just, oh yeah, I'm just here. You know? Oh yeah. Here's a pass here. Here's a pass here. And let me go to my first love, which is the horses. Basketball is my side job. They just pay me well.
Yeah.
This man could go to the Hall of Fame with this being his side job. This man don't care nothing about no basketball.
I need to go home.
He wants to go home.
I think at the end of the day, he puts that out there to cover his ass in case something happens. You know, he loves his game. Think about how hard he plays each and every night. Think about the work he puts in. You know, so when he throw, it's like the narrative when they say, like, LeBron pass first. No, dog, you score first. Even though you got a lot of assists, you're just a complete player. But your first rule of thumb is a score. If you didn't, you wouldn't be leading the league in scoring. And so I just think a lot of players, they just put that narrative out there to change it. You know, but Luka, I mean, Jokic, he loves basketball. He plays too damn hard. He knows too much about it. He's too fucking crafty. He's just a talented brother.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's you elevating the guys around you. You know, and a lot of these guys do exactly that. They elevate the guys around them. They're not just the one. And, you know, my only knock on Luka has always been he's exceptional.
Yeah.
But how much better does the team perform with him versus how much does he just outperform everybody? You know, you want to make your guys better. So I think that's got to be a factor, too. But, yeah, a lot of conversation about that. But it's funny to watch this list of people who have been knocked out of contention for anything continue to grow with this new rule. It's weird.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A question came in from Marcus. I heard LeBron's advice for the younger generation the other night during the Lakers postgame after they beat the Knicks, which I still can't believe I'm a Knicks fan. and then he wants to know what your advice for the younger players is. But I went and I pulled this. I'm going to play it. It's about a minute. So roll with it, because I think LeBron got on a little bit of a roll here. And I want to know how much of this either you agree with or what you feel like you could add to this. So here's LeBron's advice for the younger generation.
Learn the history of the game. Respect the ones that came before you, even when they do disrespect you. It's okay. You know, understand that, you know, what a professional is all about. Be a pro. You know, show up to work. Be ready to work. If you're on time, you're late. Put the work in. The game gives back to you when you put the work in. That's what the game gods do. So, you know, come to the gym. You're one of the first ones to the gym. You're one of the last ones to leave. The cars and the jewelry and all the other don't matter. It means absolutely nothing. And I see a lot of these young kids, they get so unfocused about stuff that is so material that they can lose their focus. Just worry about the game. I mean, you worry about the game, everything take care of yourself. You worry about the game, you worry about your family, and then worry about the game some more. And be selfish, too. It's okay to be selfish, because you have to be a little bit selfish to be able to be great.
That's LeBron's advice.
Yeah.
For the younger generation.
Everything he said, I've said before.
Have you?
Yes. Even, you know, the part what people don't understand about the selfish part.
I've heard you say that on this show.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. You know, if you want to be great, you got to put in the time. And that's selfish of you to put in the time, especially when you have kids and you have a family, because you're taking time away from them. But you're so honed in to try to improve your craft and improve yourself as a player. So he's totally right. And I, when I would go to these rookie seminars, I would point out guys. I said, you know, a lot of guys, you know, in my era, they went broke. You want to know why? Because they was trying to buy the cars, buy the houses, and, you know, tell all these people, you know, you got to be able to tell all these people in your life, no, that's the hardest thing. I know your siblings know, because am I back?
Yeah, you're back. The internet, your connection told you no for a second.
I know.
Yeah, just like, no, I'm going to be selfish.
And that's the thing when he's saying you have to be selfish if you want to improve yourself, man, because everything he said is spot on. And then you can add something to that, because these players nowadays, you know, I look at so many guys. I had one of Christian's friends was visiting UCLA, and his friend Roman was sitting by me. And we were talking about guys. He asked me if one of these guys on UCLA should go pro. I'm like, no. I said, with the fact that NIL money is out there, you can use that NIL money to make the same amount of money you're going to make in the NBA. Because now if you go to the NBA, you're not going to be one of those top, if you're not one of those the first round guys, don't even freaking leave. Because now you realize, I don't think people understand the G League, you ain't traveling like the NBA. You ain't in five-star hotels. You're not in, you don't have the amenities that these guys have. Now you got to think about this. You travel better in college than you do in the G League. And so you got to put in your mindset, is it worth me taking that chance? Especially when you can make that same amount of money in the NCAA. I don't understand how the guy's going to do it. So for me, the advice that he's given, he need to add that to those kids that's trying to, you know, play, be one and done and go to college. If you're not 100% sure you're going to be in the first round, stay your ass in college, because you can, hey, the way the NIL money has been given and tossed around now, you can make $1 million. You can make $500, the same amount you're going to make in the NBA. And then you forget also, this is the biggest point I told him, you forget every year there's a new crop coming in. So you think you're going to make it, and you're looking at the guys ahead of you, there's some killers coming behind you trying to stab you in the back and take your spot. So a lot that goes into that. And so that's why you have to be in that gym 24/7. You got to learn the game, not be able to play the game, because there's a lot of guys out there can play the game. Shit, just turn on, you know, IG and see all those guys that are doing crossovers, hitting up J's. And it's a lot of guys that can play, but you got to be able to understand the game and know your purpose and know your worth and use that to your best ability.
Yeah, I mean, listening to LeBron speak, it was like another guy that used to be in Laker jersey, your former teammate, Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe said, I mean, Kobe not only said it, but Kobe was the walking epitome of everything that he just said.
Yep.
You know, how many times have we heard
in, last guy out? I mean, all the time.
How many times have we heard stories from other people about Kobe, them meeting Kobe to work out? And when they walk into the gym, Kobe done already shot so many free throws. Kobe done already ran so many laps. Kobe done sweated more before 5 a.m. than most people do in a day. And from offseason to Team USA to everything, that's all you heard. And so everything that LeBron said, you take care of the game, and the game gonna take care of you. Mm-hmm. Just what it is.
Can I add one from an outside perspective as somebody who has never played in the NBA and won't?
Oh, yeah, I ain't never played in the NBA either.
Right, but I'm going to add one, too. I'm going to add one from the media side. Learn to talk to the media.
Yeah.
Just learn how to do that, whether it's understanding that, you know, they're trying to get sound bites out of you. They're not trying to rile you up. They're not trying to personally attack you. And when you lash out, that's the shit that goes viral. That's the stuff that everyone thought, well, he's got an attitude problem. He kind of fired off at the media. Learn how to deal with the media, because that's not an easy thing. And I think a lot of young kids, especially in the NBA and in the NFL, you see it predominantly in those two sports, the younger kids don't have that acumen for dealing with the media. And that's what gets them caught sometimes in a bind, because they snap off on somebody or they say something. Now, look, in LeBron's defense, he always hasn't been great with dealing with the media. There's been plenty of press conferences I've seen him go, okay, we're done, and when he just walks the hell out of the room. But, you know, I think that there's value in that for young kids to understand how to do that.
Yeah, so absolutely.
True. So,
And I think that the older you get, especially for your local media, whatever city or what market you play in, the better that you become with the media, the more you start to understand, you start to build a relationship with certain people. And then there are certain people who you start to learn who don't necessarily have your best interests at heart in them. Because there are some people
I gotta be careful around that one. Yep.
To get a soundbite and to twist your words. And those are the people that you can look at and be like, yeah, no, I can deal with these over here, but I know you have a personal vendetta because I've read your work. I've heard you speak. I've seen the stuff that you say. I'm not with that. But that comes with also, just like you study the game, also understanding at least your local media and the people who you're going to see consistently. And that's how you'll know how to maneuver that.
But for me, I've always tell guys, go to your PR people and say, who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys?
Right.
Just tell me one to avoid and be careful who I can say stuff with. And a lot of times, you know, the PR people know, like, oh, that B. Harper, he's an asshole. Don't talk to him. He's trying to get his, you know, he's trying to get clicks.
He works that damn Rob podcast. Jenners,
he's a good guy.
Works that damn podcast. That's trying to get audio.
That's what you got to do. And that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Question came in from Kenny.
Thank you, Kenny.
Kenny, the Doc Rivers hiring in Milwaukee was a mistake for sure, as I see it. Is there any other coach in the NBA or really any other sport that should never get a retread ever again? I always say the next dummy to hire Urban Meyer deserves to lose. You got a good point, though. Can you think of other coaches, either in any sport, that probably don't deserve another shot or probably shouldn't get another shot? But I bet you will. Go ahead.
I'll go to the NFL, Josh McDaniels. I don't know what it is with him and, you know, obviously worked under Bill Belichick for a long period of time, but he is a guy for somehow, some reason, continues to emerge in head coaching candidate positions.
Oh,
after
all the time.
He turned down the Colts job, got the Colts job, said, no, I don't want it, and then went elsewhere. Like he fails as a head coach everywhere he goes, but continues to be a candidate. He should never have a head coaching job ever again.
I'm at the three strike rule. If you have three jobs and you've gotten fired from three, you shouldn't have a job.
Well, he done struck out twice. He 0 for 2 at the plate. Mm-hmm. 0 for 3.
And you get fired three times, man. I'm like, that should be it. You know, so it's a lot of guys I could say that shouldn't, you know, because there are too many guys out there deserving of jobs. You know, like Sam Cassell. Come on now. You know, you keep recycling some of these coaches. This dude been in the league for, you know, 20 years.
Forever.
Played for 20 years. You know, give him a shot. You know, and it's just so many guys like that. I can name a bunch of.
And it's
the thing that it always amazes me is you have this one coach. It's a great coach. And all of a sudden you think everybody that's coached under him can be good coaches. No, dog, it's a reason that coach was good because he had a fucking good ass team.
Oh, no. Like, we love to talk about the coaching tree.
Yeah.
That gets our little media testicles tingling. Oh, coaching tree. Oh,
so if I ask you right now, in the last 30 years, name the top three coaches that have been in the NBA. And I guarantee you, one of those coaches you're going to name, he's only had maybe one guy out of him to get a job, and he lost that bitch after one season, I think.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He's had one guy out of him that had a head coaching job and lost that shit real quick.
Who was that?
I can't remember the black guy. He's coached for him. I can't think of his name. But he coached Dallas. And he was in Dallas like one season, I think, and he got fired. I can't think of his damn name.
That's gonna drive me crazy. Now there's people screaming at their phones right now because they know
Dallas,
and we don't.
He coached Dallas for a second.
All right, we're gonna find out.
And then you go. They think about all the people under Pop, all the guys who put it like, and half of them they shouldn't have jobs because they don't know what the hell they doing. But because of Pop, they got a job.
Talking about Brian Shaw.
No, not Brian Shaw. Brian Shaw played for him.
I know.
There was just
into my turn. They're crediting Bishaw as part of Phil's coaching tree, which is hysterical.
Here
you go.
I'm trying to see.
Jim Clemens.
Yeah, Jim Clemens.
Jim Clemens.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He went 28-70 as the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks and was fired 16 games into his second season.
See?
And that was it.
Yeah.
But they're also counting like Bill Cartwright. And I'm like, why? Because he played for the Bulls when Phil was the coach?
It happens that way, too. So I'm like, just because someone is a head coach, the people that coach next to them or under them, don't make them good.
No.
Just because your dad was a hell of a coach, don't make you going to be a good coach. You know what I mean? So it's just so many
that
things.
That feels like a shot at Luke Walton.
Luke Walton? No, his dad wasn't a hell of a coach.
Oh, no, his dad was just a hell of a player. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I think when we look at, like, the coaching trees, I think it's a lot more difficult in basketball than it is in football.
But Nick Saban has a hell of a coaching tree.
Oh,
and
no,
Belichick does, too.
Bill Belichick has a monstrous coaching tree.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan has a monstrous coaching tree. I mean, Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan has.
Yes.
I think it's a lot. It's easier to detect.
Well, because you have more like defined like roles on a coaching tree in the NFL. The offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, you know what I mean? Like you have specific. In basketball, it's like assistant coach, bench guy. You know what I mean? Like what are the, like it's the delineations are a lot harder.
Yeah, it's different. It's a lot different because now I can actually, in football, I can actually draw up the real X's and O's and really kind of actually get creative with a lot of, just a lot more things. You can see that more definitively, I think, in football than you can in basketball.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at myself that there's so many things I want to say about a lot of these coaches that in the NBA. And I don't know anything shit about football, but I'm just saying that they've gotten head coaching jobs because of certain coaches. And I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking as an organization? I said, as a player, I'm saying, okay, Mike Spoelstra is the only one. I said, you fucking got a video coordinator trying to coach me? What kind of shit is this? this dude don't know what the fuck. All right, take a ball. Let me see you shoot it. You can't fucking make – if you can't make 7 out of 10 free throws me, you can't fucking coach me, man. Go with that bullshit.
That's the qualification for you?
Yeah. I'm like, right. You don't know shit about – you don't even know how to play the fucking game. That's not – and this, to me, has a lot to do with my personality. Like, if you think about all the really good coaches, they all played the game. And they know the game. So they understand certain situations. And the guys who can sit over there and say, well, you need to do this and this. I said, my body ain't going to allow me to do that. Have you ever played this game? Do you know? And that's why – really, really good players should never be coaches because their bodies allowed them to do things that nobody else could do. Now you expecting them to do what you did? Hey, dude, God gave you a lot more talents than he gave me.
Didn't work that way. I will tell you, by the way, also that Bobby Petrino does not need to ever get another opportunity to coach a team ever again. And I think he's a head coach somewhere right now in college. But no, never again. You can't do horrible, terrible shit to people and then still get opportunities in this world. That sucks. Super Bowl tickets this year. Go ahead.
Can I say one last coach that should never get a job?
Go, man.
You know who I'm, Jimbo Fisher. He should never get another fucking job.
He's absolutely going to get another job. I don't think there's any doubt in that.
I don't know if I can roll with you completely.
Oh, no, that's personal. That's a personal vendetta. Subjective opinion.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
All right, well, let's see. Have you rethought your trip to the Super Bowl? Are you still staying home?
I'm still staying home.
You're still staying
I'm
home?
Still staying.
Okay.
I'm still staying home.
Because that ticket that was offered to you, by the way, ain't cheap. Uh-oh.
How much is it?
Get in price right now to Super Bowl 58. By the way, this is the get in the building. $7,200. That's to walk in the door. So I can't imagine a suite level ticket.
Whew. Hey, that lets you know that Super Bowl is all corporate, baby. It's all.
Oh, it
corporate.
Always is. It's not for fans.
It's not for the fans.
No. Yeah, there's very few fans at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's always been the case. It's always been
just
the truth.
Just the players, families, and friends.
For comparison, you could have gotten into Game 3 of the World Series this year in Arizona for $209. Arizona, not a draw. You could have gotten into Game 3 of the NBA Finals in Miami for $232. That threw me because the Finals in Miami?
Yeah.
$232. Or you could have gotten into Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Florida for $251. So that's three championship games. You could have been in the door under $300.
But you know what makes a big difference in those? There's only one being played for the Super
There's
Bowl.
Only one Super Bowl. You're absolutely right. And all these others are, seven games, best of sevens. Every one of them. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'll tell you what, man, it shows the power of the NFL. Yeah. $7,200 to walk in the door in Vegas. But, of course, it's Vegas. So it's going to be an absolute shit show. And then finally, a question from Joe. We'll close it out here with the shoot-around this week. By the way, if you ever have a question for the shoot-around, at Big Shot Bob Pod, pretty much everywhere you can find us. We're BigShotBobPod@gmail. Send that stuff in, man. We'll get to it. Please tell me you saw Kentucky's Aaron Bradshaw kiss that Tennessee player in the middle of their fight.
No, I did not.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
They were nose to nose, shouting at each other, and Bradshaw from Kentucky. I mean, they were right here, shouting, and this man leans in and kisses him in the middle of that fight. And oh, I thought everything was going to come unraveled after that.
I got to look that up now.
It is hysterical. But Joe wanted to know, what's the weirdest flex someone's ever pulled on you during a fight?
I've never. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
You don't fight. You don't fight at all.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But
it ain't work. I'm too pretty to get hit in the face and mess this up, man. So I'm not.
Okay.
Now you know what though.
Plenty of guys have tried to kiss Rob in the middle of a fight. That's all we're saying.
I haven't gotten any fights. Got into a couple, you know, grabbing and pushing matches, but no actual fights.
Yeah, that's a weird flex though. I'm gonna kiss
Kentucky,
you.
Was it a Kentucky player that kissed
it? His kid's name is Aaron Bradshaw. Google it real fast here while we're still recording. I want to see your reaction to it. It's just so odd. And it's like, I guess by doing that, you're trying to get this guy to swing on you. Like, that's got to be the only motive for that, is to just have this guy just start throwing hands and get bounced.
That's funny.
Did you say
Here's the crazy part. I used to, I've gotten tossed out of one game in college, and it was against Kentucky. I got... Kentucky always used to rob. I always used to rob me up.
Used to.
Did you? Kentucky used to rile you up.
I don't. Yeah, because.
Are you watching? Oh, he's watching.
What are you?
I'm sorry. Watching it. But yeah, man. Rick Pitino used to always get one of their players to like cheap shot me because he knew I would retaliate. Because, you know, if you hit me once, I'm going to hit you five times. That's how I used to be. And so we were playing a game, and I went up for rebound. And, you know, you tip it once, he fell. He grabbed my leg and pulled me as I jumped. I reached down, hit him with a two-piece real quick. Pop, pop.
Oh.
And it was like all hell broke loose. And so.
And it was the Royal Rumble all of a sudden.
Yeah. And then I got tossed out of that game. Then the next season, I got tossed again because the guy elbowed me, and next play down, I try to knock his head off. Reggie Hanson. You know, me and Reggie talked. We laughed. We ran into each other. We laughed about it. So, but it's just one of those things. Kentucky knew they get me out. If you hit me, I'm gonna retaliate and you get me out the game. So if I was gone, hey, like you talk about MVPs not being on the team.
Oh,
if I was gone, Bama wasn't gonna win without me.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.